Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spartan Life Radio, brought to you by Norfolk State University, home of the mighty Spartans. Spartan Life Radio was created with you in mind. It's your source for news and information about NSU matters, including students, faculty, staff, administrators, alumni, and the communities we serve.
Hello, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is Spartan Life Radio on the air, coming to you live again from Norfolk State University. Today we're talking about a really exciting news. We're getting ready to offer a Black Lives Matter class in the History and Interdisciplinary Studies Department. I never can get interdisciplinary studies out in one syllable. But anyway, Black Lives Matter is one of the best examples of hashtag activism. This, according to Dr. Andrew Arroyo, NSP professor, expert in pop culture, including social media activism. Using social media, the Black Lives Matter movement kicked off with the death of Trayvon Martin and built up a momentum during other high-profile deaths of young black men at the hands of law enforcement. This fall, Norfolk State University will offer a course titled Black Lives Matter, The Long Civil Rights Movement in America and Beyond. Today on Spartan Life Radio, we're going to talk about the new course, its focus, civil rights, social activism, and more. Our guest today is Dr. K. Wright Lewis, assistant professor in the Department of History and Interdisciplinary Studies and senior fellow in the Honors College here at NSU. According to Dr. Lewis, the course will focus on the long struggle for racial justice in America and on African-American resistance to segregation and discrimination, which led to the civil rights and black power movements. Welcome, Dr. Lewis, to Spartan Life Radio. How are you doing this morning?
I'm just fine. Thank you, Sharon.
Okay. To our listeners, if you have a question about today's topic, about the course, or anything about NSU, give us a call at 1-347-850-8515. That number again, 1-347-850-8515. Follow the prompts to speak to our guest. Again, according to the Black Lives Matter website, the movement is more than just about the killings of black people by police and vigilantes. Movers and shakers in the organized effort say that the movement affirms the lives of all black people, no matter what their station, beliefs, background, etc. Black Lives Matter, the long civil rights movement in America and beyond, the new course is being taught at NSU in the fall and will examine the movement and compare it to the civil rights and black power movements. So excited to have that this is happening at NSU, and doubly excited to have Dr. Lewis this morning about this groundbreaking course. Got a question about today's topic? Call us at 1-347-850-8515. Dr. Lewis, give us the logistics of the course. When will it be taught, time, location, what department, and all that stuff? Where will the course be housed?
Sure. It's going to be held on Mondays and Wednesdays from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Right now, it's scheduled to be held in Brown Hall, but I'm thinking that that may change by the time the fall semester begins. And, of course, it is a course that's emanating out of the History Department, which is merged with Interdisciplinary Studies. And we're very excited about, what this course will bring to, our course offerings here at NSU.
Does the course have any prerequisites? Can any student who's interested in the curriculum there, can they take the course, or does it have some kind of prerequisites?
That's a great question. I mean, it is a 400-level course, so obviously you would probably need to be a junior or senior to take the course, just so that you would be familiar with at least the core requirement of taking either American history or African American history. But it also sort of stands alone in the sense that you wouldn't necessarily have to have had a background, in African American history or in the civil rights history in order to sort of understand, the core content. So it would help you to have had a history course, but it is not essential to doing well in the course.
Now, most people kind of think that history is kind of boring, or can be boring. I know differently because of the faculty here at Norfolk State University. So what kind of methods will you use to teach the Black Lives Matter course?
Well, if you, great point that you're bringing out, because history can be, and it is often taught in a boring way. But that's only because they're taking away the story aspect of it, right? So it's his or her story. And particularly for African Americans, our story often gets left untold. So I use discussion format in terms of, you know, having students discuss things that I'm talking about in lecture, but, you know, participating and thinking out loud, as I like to call it, is extremely important, and it's the way I teach classes in general. And I also use films quite a bit to sort of augment, you know, some of the reading material, because today we have a very we're a very visual culture, and so to sort of see some of these people live, and whether it's enacted or you know, actually a documentary, I find is extremely helpful to students. But by and large, I mean, at the end of the day, the core reason for teaching this class is to sort of align with you know, what students understand social activism to be today, which is manifested in the Black Lives Matter movement, but of course there are others like the hashtag Say Her Name campaign, the Youth Project 100, Hands Up United, and then the hashtag Cut 50 organization movement that has also been implemented. All these organizations are sort of have been formed around previously designed organizing principles, but it doesn't even begin in the civil rights era. It begins, you know, really, I would say, at the turn of the 20th century in the 1900s. And so that's why I begin the class at that point, so that they can understand that people have always recognized and understood that Black lives, the lives of Black people, were important and mattered and always did articulate resistance to the idea that their lives did not matter, whether civically or socially. And the ways in which they went about sort of pushing against, you know, the sort of culture of violence or the culture of lack of civic equality, you know, differed and was diverse, and that was okay. I mean, that you had many voices sort of articulating the same common goal but approaching it differently, but nevertheless, you know, sort of all being on the same page. Extremely important for today's young millennials, I would say, because we are a culture that's all about me, and you know, the way in which we can sort of work together, I think, is something we need to recapture.
Do you think that you will have an opportunity to use social media, one of the social media channels, in the way you teach the course?
Well, I'm hoping so, and, you know, this is one of the, you know, projects that, you know, I hope to sort of design in the course, is that they can sort of develop their own ideas or sort of initiatives about what they would like to sort of target, and modeled after some of these organizations that we'll be historicizing. And I guess that's sort of the difference is with this course, is that we're historicizing not only the Black Lives Matter movement and not only the Black Power movement and also the Civil Rights movement, but also sort of looking at how these organizations were international and sort of looked at, for example, apartheid in South Africa, lended whatever resources, whether it was just ideas or actual tangible resources, to other organizations across the world, to communities of color who were also struggling with, you know, the issues of social justice. And that now, because you have social media and the internet, it's just boundless, the opportunities, because there still are a lot of issues around the world, aside from just in our own neighborhoods, that need our attention.
What kind of interest do you think we'll generate by offering such a course with a timely and relevant theme?
Well, you know, I think that it will clearly generate a high interest with millennials, with young people, because for one thing, and I think this is a challenge that we face today, is that there is a void or a vacuum, which is why I think the Black Lives Matter movement has been so successful, at least conceptually, is that there's a void in where do I put that frustration? You know, where do I, you know, use you know, the tools that I'm learning in going to a university, to going to NSU in a productive and positive way. In all the fields, whether it's psychology, sociology, history, political science, mass communications, all of those fields have real tools that can then be used, you know, to improve our society. And so it's just a matter of, you know, taking those tools that, you know, they're honing and then using them in a way that sort of channels the frustration and not to just feel like you're a victim of society, but rather that you have an active part in changing society. And that's what makes wholesome and healthy people. And I think that these are, this is what has been missing, at least for the past generation or so, and I think is what is being revived by, you know, all of the activism that, that is currently going on. So I think it will put NSU, you know, and I appreciate the provost and the dean of Dr. Anderson in supporting this initiative, because I think it will put us, you know, on the map in terms of historically Black colleges are historic sites of where it says Black Lives Matter. You know, the reason historically Black colleges were developed was because people said it wasn't important for Black people to get a higher education. And so you have, you know, the incredible energy that went into creating these historically Black colleges as sacred spaces, I would argue, for people to come and, you know, renew and not only replenish themselves, you know, in terms of being able to actualize their potential, but also, you know, being able to give them skills where they could go then out in the marketplace and be successful. And so, you know, historically Black colleges, NSU, is a site that says, you know, that Black lives, Black children, Black youth do matter, and they are important. And, you know, we will put the resources and in time into helping people achieve their goals and, you know, improving their lives.
And I want to, this is a question I had earlier on my list, but I want to go ahead and ask it now. Do you know if there are any other Black Lives Matter courses being taught at other colleges and universities around the country or at any other HBCUs?
Well, it's funny, you know, I, as is often the case, at least for me anyway, you know, I come up with these ideas and I think that I'm creating something new, but I was telling my niece about it, and apparently Melissa Harris Perry also has a Black Lives Matter course. I don't know how it's constructed. She's at Wake Forest. So I haven't had the time, honestly, to Google to see if there are any others, but there are several books that are either in the pipeline or have just recently been published. One scholarly book, which we will be using, called Policing the Planet, that emanates out of the Black Lives Matter movement. So it is, you know, it, this organization is so new, this idea is, you know, relatively new, so that it, you know, it's just beginning, I guess, to be used and constructed within the curriculum of various universities. And so the structure of my class actually comes out of my own research in terms of, you know, aligning the civil rights movement with South anti-apartheid movements and the South African struggle. So for me, you know, it was just sort of a natural thing, but also that there, you know, it, at some level, all the conservative or not conservative push against the Black Lives Matter movement because they're not maybe conducting themselves in a way that people would appreciate. But then on the other hand, they forget, you know, that they are a nonviolent organization and that they have pushed forward this idea about police brutality and, you know, the and made people question this idea about, you know, are Black people inherently criminals because they are poor? And, you know, what does that mean? And why are they poor? And what do we need to do to change that circumstance? And so they brought the discussion to the forefront of the political you know, in terms of in public sphere. And that's an incredibly important and difficult thing, I would argue, to do on any sustained basis. And yet they have effectively done that. And hopefully other organizations that are from, forming in response to this sort of energized time, you know, will also continue make those kind of inroads.
Well, I just think it's really cool that it's the university atmosphere is just flexible enough to embrace something like this and to teach a course to prepare our students and the ones that come after them to be ready to take their place in society and in these movements. I think that is just so cool to be that flexible to just, bam, we're going to get this done.
That's right. And, you know, it's the ripple effect, right? Because, you know, these students will then, what I tell my, you know, tell your grandma, tell your mom, tell your, you know, tell your cousins and your nieces and your nephews and sisters and brothers, everything that you're learning here. So that the ripple effect is that, you know, at one, you touch one person and they touch one person, and then it spreads. And so, you know, it's much more powerful than just, you know, the 30 students or whatever that, you know, are attending the class at the moment, but that you are to share, you know, pass it forward, you know, what it is that you are learning. But at the same time, that you also take seriously. I mean, part of my method also is that, you know, you have to take seriously what you're learning and, you know, so that you get it right, so that when you're not, so when you're blogging about it or if you're, you know, writing on social media or whatever, that you got it right. You're not, it's not some conspiracy theory or some wrong facts, because there's more than enough of that out there, you know? Really, right? And that's why you're in college, right? Is to learn
truth. That's right.
Right. So, you know,
all right,
Dr. Lewis said something I didn't say, right?
That's right. Listeners, if you'd like to join the discussion, got a question for Dr. Lewis, or you just want to listen in, call us at area code 347-850-8515. Press 1 on your telephone keypad if you want to talk to our guest. What are some of the major themes that you will cover in the teaching of the Black Lives Matter course?
Well, where I'm starting it is, as I said, in the turn of the 20th century, is the 1900s, which a historian by the name of Rayford Logan calls the nadir of the Black experience. It's when white violence is at its height. So we're looking at white violence, but, you know, and sort of the trajectory of white violence up until the 1960s, the Civil Rights Movement. But more importantly, what it looks at is the Black response to white violence, so that they can see that, you know, there's a history, even well before the 1960s, of different and various groups organizing around and resisting the loss of Black lives and the loss of civil equality, and are affirming that they do and need to deserve to have that in America, and the way and the different strategies that people are going about trying to achieve that goal. And then also looking at the effect of poverty, which comes around in the 1940s, the way in which our urban communities, you know, are structured was very intentional, and it has a historic narrative attached to that, which then culminates in, you know, violence and crime and all those other things that the Black community has been labeled, but not because of themselves, but rather because of a designed to keep a segment of people oppressed for particular reasons based on the time. And then, more importantly, in line with, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, they successfully don't attach themselves necessarily as being a female-led and female-organized conceived organization, but it is conceived by three young women. And so we're going to look deeply at women in the long civil rights movement. And, of course, you know, women are always the worker bees, right? And so many times we talk about the men, right, of the civil rights movement, and in reality it's those women, those worker bees behind them who still remain, you know, sort of silenced, who don't get the credit for making things happen. So we're going to pay and spend a good deal of time in looking at those women as well as the Black Power movement. And then also in South Africa, the way in which America and South Africa, really from World War II on, were sort of in line with each other in terms of Black liberation. And then finally, looking at reconciliation, you know, as someone said, it's not so easy as having the person be convicted. I don't know that the convictions of Trayvon Martin's, you know, or Mike Brown's killers would really solve the problem as much as, you know, resolving why these incidents occur in the first place.
It's happening.
So, you know, sort of looking at the broader way of healing that this country needs to sort of tend to that and problem solving. So, you know, it deals with history, but it also deals with sociology and psychology. So it's an interdisciplinary course as well.
Okay. How will you assess students' learning success in the class, or what kind of method will you use to see what and how much they've learned?
Well, it's based, I will be, they will be writing three types of papers. And so for me, that's usually the best way to assess not only how they've incorporated and remembered the discussions, but also the readings, and to have them do, you know, a critical analysis of a basic topic question that I've given them of using the materials that we've used in the class. So, you know, for me, that's the best method of saying, well, do you know, really understand the material you're reading, but also to sort of how you're interpreting what you're reading and, you know, how this may align with, you know, I haven't formulated questions yet, but how this may align with, you know, things that are happening today, or, you know, even being in line with solution-driven sort of questions, you know, to some of the problems that, you know, we'll be looking at closely in the material. And so based on that, and obviously I have a rubric for that, but really history is sort of driven on being able to interpret material and then synthesize the material and then use your critical analysis to weigh in on what you think. So, you know, it's important to, I don't really necessarily want you to give me what you think I think the answer is. I want you to tell me what you think the answer is. And so that's that's what I'm always looking for from my students, is for them to have opinions. It's called a thesis, but in history it's sort of really what drives, you know, the work. So
is there a textbook? Is there going to be a textbook for this course?
I'm not using a textbook, but I'm using several books that, you know, cover various segments of the material. So, so there's sort of five or six books that we're using that are just topically aligned with, you know, the Black Power movement or women in the civil rights movement or white violence and that sort of thing. So each person will generally have some presentation that they have to do on segments of the book, which is also what I do. So they sort of use the peer-to-peer learning approach, so you get to tell your peers what you got out of that chapter or whatever. And that seems to be very effective, too.
Gosh, I wish I could take it.
You can still take it.
Oh, my gosh. How does the Black Lives Matter movement compare to earlier struggles of the civil rights or the Black Power movements?
Well, I mean, it aligns with both of those in the fact that they have an issue, you know, that they're attempting to address, and they're organizing around that, and they've created a methodology for, you know, tackling that issue. And so in that sense, they're the same. Now, they're the same in, with respect to the civil rights movement, meaning MLK, Martin Luther King, and early CORE and SNCC organizations, in the sense that they, or let me say, they are not like them. Let me reverse myself. They are not like the SCLC and Martin Luther King in the sense that they are more about Black people advocating for Black freedom. And so in that sense, they're more like the Black Power movement. And that's not to say, though, as you see on TV and social media, that there are not plenty of students who are, you know, not Black or of color who are a part of the organization. So, you know, I think that conceptually they might have thought of it as a, a strictly black organization, but I think that its tentacles are much more broad and, you know, have engaged people from many different sectors of the community to align themselves with some of its goals. And so, you know, from that perspective, just in terms of the inclusiveness versus non-inclusiveness, it's more like the Black Power movement. But then in terms of, for both of them, it is nonviolent. They don't advocate forceful resistance, and, you know, nor did the Black Power or the Black Panther movement. See, it's misunderstood. Aspect of the Black Panther movement is that they advocated violence, and they did not. They advocated self-defense. If I'm not going to allow you to beat me to a pulp without defending myself,
that's right.
My personal right. You know, so it's some of that to sort of understand, you know, the way in which things are processed. The FBI and, you know, the federal government can look at them as a dangerous entity, but, you know, if you look at actually what they were doing and saying, that was not the case. But then that's a time of double standards where, you know, it might be okay for people who are not black to carry arms and not be accosted, but for a black person to carry arms, they're in trouble and they're looked at as a dangerous entity. So, you know, there's a lot of history behind that, and obviously, nonviolence is certainly the 21st century way of addressing all issues. Clearly, the terrorism that exists around the world makes that clear, that that's not the way to resolve problems in any society. But it does take a concerted effort, and it does take money. And there are a group of scholars who are actually campaigning and gathering funds for the Black Lives Matter movement and other movements because they understand that in order to effectively organize, you need resources in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think they're in for the long haul, from what best I can tell. And, you know, pretty much was the case with the civil rights movement, the Black Power movement. They, you know, they had funds, they had resources, and they had, you know, organizational concepts, and as I tell my students, deep couch thinking, right, that they did. It wasn't just a matter of getting together and talking, but, you know, actually thinking deeply about, okay, so how is this actually going to go, and who's going to do what and when, and, you know, and who, what, when, where, and why, and, you know, to really map it out. That takes quite a bit of energy and thought and genius, and so, you know, this is what, you know, we need to make young people, or what I hope to make young people aware of in taking this class, is this is the kind of thinking that happens when you are trying to organize anything or run anything. And, you know, that skill hopefully will be something that they take away with them as a result of being in the class as well.
Okay. Let me ask you this. This is not on the list that I sent you, but as you were talking, I just thought about that thing. What happened to the Black Power movement? I mean, you just stopped seeing it or hearing about it or the people involved in it. Did something happen to it? What happened to it?
Well, it became on the FBI CIA list of an organization that was dangerous to America and that had to be taken down and dismantled. So that's what happened to it. And so it was systematically, that occurred systematically. And historically, there still is the way it's taught in K-12 and probably just in the general conversation is that somehow it was a black organization, a bad organization, and that, you know, spoke of something that was arguably against what the civil rights movement was, meaning that if you say black power, well, now you're echoing white power in, you know, the Ku Klux Klan and that sort of idea of white supremacy, you know, ignoring the fact that, you know, the need for advocating black power, black is beautiful, black pride, occurred because of, you know, the history of slavery and history of Jim Crow and the way in which the psychological damage that does to people over time. And so to sort of rebuild the psyche and the, you know, the minds of people generally and on a collective basis, you know, you need to get them to love themselves and, you know, just as they are and not because they have money or not have money or educated, not have, just because they're, you know, God's gift. So I think there's that work was extremely successful in doing that. But for whatever reason, it was seen as threatening. And so, you know, again, that goes back to this whole idea of assimilation versus a multicultural America, which, you know, I think after the fact, probably in the 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s, that idea came into fore of a tapestry, right, versus a melting pot, you know, so that you have people who have different cultures, who are, you know, have different skin tones, because we're all one race. Race is not a category that actually really exists, different ethnic groups, and that is who America is and always was. But at that time, I think the idea of, you know, being proud and separated from American European culture was viewed as a threat, perhaps. You know, the federal government was very engaged with looking at them as an enemy. Interestingly, you know, Black Lives Matter is not looked at as an enemy, and I think that this shows the movement of America, you know, in the world, and that in terms of how we view the idea, using that word black, or even advocating for black agency. And, you know, so that shows growth, and that's a really positive thing if you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Lewis, I am just so excited about this this new course coming online in the fall. We're near the end of the episode. Any last thoughts you want to tell our audience before we close the broadcast?
Did you ask me if there was anything I want to tell the audience?
Yeah, anything you want, any last thoughts? You want to leave with
my last thought? Well, I'd say come on and register and stay tuned for this new vibrant class. And, you know, I'm hoping perhaps to even get a film series going. And, you know, I would love to have an abundance of students, too many students. I will look forward to, you know, my doors being broken down with begs to please be in the class.
That's
but,
what I'm hoping to.
Right. I mean, in all seriousness, so I do think it's an important class, and it's an important class for any student who's going through college now. I think it would be extremely valuable to their development as young adults and the way in which in their work life and the way in which they, you know, understand themselves and their history. Because, you know, when you don't understand why things are the way they are, it has so much more power than it should. And I think that once you understand, you know, the history of, you know, black civil rights in this country in the modern era, and then also understand, you know, these organizations, their strengths and their weaknesses, you know, then that's going to enable you to be even more effective, whether it's in your own activism or just in your work life, you know. And this is historically what African Americans have always done. It's never been just about us. It's always been about our broader community. And so, you know, that's what I hope that students will come away energized in wanting to help this country and their communities.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. We want to thank you again for taking time to join us today. For more information about the new Black Lives Matter class at NSU, you can visit nsu.edu. And click on the Academics tab. Look for the History and Interdisciplinary Studies Department. And, again, Dr. Lewis, we thank you for joining us on this issue of Spartan Life Radio.
Well, thank you for having me.
All righty. Okay, guys, Spartan Life Radio, the five-minute version, airs Monday mornings at 8:50 a.m. on WNSB 91.1 FM. Get social with us at NSU and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Visit nsu.edu for more information on today's topic, any special events happening and happenings at the university. I want to take a minute to say a shout out to our class of 2016 as they are graduating tomorrow, May 7th. Congratulations to all of you guys. Great job. Listen to this broadcast or others on demand at blogtalkradio.com/Spartan Life. I'm Sharon Hoggart. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Spartan Life Radio. Tune in bi-weekly on Thursday afternoons for another new episode of Spartan Life. For more information on Norfolk State University, visit nsu.edu or check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and Flickr.